So the recording is started.
Okay, thank you, Michael. All right, we're going to go ahead and get started. This is the West University Historic Zone Advisory Board meeting of December the 9th. Here, clear my screen. Go ahead and do a roll call real quick. Jim Glock,
Present.
Rachel Sarah,
Here.
Lou Specknagel,
Here.
and Greg Stoner.
Here.
Okay, we have a quorum. We have the full board tonight. I also see we have a guest, Mr. Ford Burkhart, and Michael Taku. So will we? I think Rachel, you just joined a second ago. The applicant hasn't joined yet, but we're just knocking a few couple things off the agenda to just get that out of the way so we can start on time. All right. The LAR. Do I have a motion to approve the LAR from last meeting?
So moved.
Right, Jim. And a second.
I'll second.
Greg, thank you. Discussion brief. Michael, on the LAR, I apologize. I didn't look at it until just a couple hours ago. The Speedway item that was on the LAR, which is coming back today, was listed as a contributing resource. So you might want to change that.
Yeah, we would. That was wrong. It's a vacant property, so it's not contributing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Might have just been a cut and paste error. Okay.
Noted.
All right. So with that one change to the motion, all in favor, aye.
Bye.
All right.
Jim Block.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, everybody. Just. And Michael, was there any call to the audience? We're on item three.
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. No call. Well, okay, we're kind of at a stop here now. We can skip to some of the staff update items.
Looks like he's
And
joining.
oh, there it is. Okay. Thanks, Lou. Alex, are you there?
Yeah, he's here.
Well, he's muted.
All right. Should you be able to hear me?
Okay, thank you. I can hear you now. You're going to be representing one or two East Speedway.
Correct.
Okay, perfect. All right, with that, item 4A, SD0825-00128, 102 East Speedway. Alex, go ahead and take it away.
Do you have my share screen on?
Yeah, let me make you a co-host. Mind. It should be good now, Alex.
I think it's this one. Right, you guys see my screen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, so we're back here again on the 102 East Speedway. Per our last meeting, we had a couple comments we wanted to address. The comments starting off were one to make sure we deal with windows to be modified to either single hung or double hung. Of course, I'm gonna do single hung, and that is called out in the window schedule, single hung with pictures for the small bathroom ones. And so, as you can see in all of the windows now, they're all single hung. Even the one in the living room, I did a double single hung there. So, and then The next comment was awning windows for bathrooms also to be wood clad. So again, we did pictures for the bathrooms, but then I did make sure to call out the model of the windows now. So under the schedule here, we'll see all windows to be Pella Lifestyle Series wood. That's it's an all wood window. And then door designs, you want to have that window glass in there. So I've now called out the front door with the actual model here. It's actually the model down here is called the Trimlite 36 by 80 clear. Oh, it's all the verbiage is right there. And so it has the little bit of lights in there, wood doors. And then we're not going to do any security screens. We'll just leave them the windows. We feel it's enclosed enough, so we're not too concerned about it. Then the big issue was the site development. And so I did change it per your guys' request. However, I'm going to be honest, I'm not confident the city will actually pass this. It's because in the end, I haven't got this caught on one of my more recent projects. City requirement for any alley to be accessed for a residence is 20-foot alley. And this is only an 18-foot alley. So I don't know if they're going to buy into letting us use this as the alley access for this property. Because that was the main concern, is you wanted to have it access off of the alley on the south entry, not the way I had it originally.
So
I
Mr.
will.
Chair,
Yes, go ahead,
members
Mr.
of the board, I checked with zoning on this issue of a 20-foot alley, and I reviewed this plan with the zoning staff who is reviewing this plan. He said this will be okay.
Okay, I was
Good.
going to say it should be okay. Alex,
Normally, no. Normally, there's a zoning code that says Alex is right that you have to have a 20-foot alley in order to have access from here. But recently, they have been seeing a lot of properties that have 18-foot alley, and if it is determined that it is already being used by other properties within the development zone, then they will allow it. For this particular case, I was guaranteed and assured that this design would be acceptable.
is this
Right.
something that we can make a note of as like
We
a
should.
historic,
Yeah, we definitely want to make a note,
like
Rachel.
it's sort of a setback
It's
waiver
exactly the same thing.
thing.
Yes,
So,
right.
yeah.
So,
Yeah.
Alex, there are 18-foot alleys throughout the neighborhood, including behind my house where my garage is, and that's
Yeah,
it.
that's the spirit in which they are looking. There is going to be a code change for that.
That'd
The code change is
be
not
good,
yet
yeah.
there. The code change is not yet there, but they are proving on a case-by-case basis.
That's
So
good.
this particular one will be approved as presented here. So I
Yeah, there's a
detect.
lot of alleys that are like 18, 19 feet wide. So
Yeah,
I'm
it's
glad to hear
actually
they're
rare to see a
changing
20-foot.
that. Yeah, exactly. As I was gonna say, I'm glad to hear they're going to change that because that really throws a wrinkle in a lot of projects.
Yeah.
Good. Okay. Well, yeah. So with that being said, as mentioned, I've now got the driveway to the south, accessing off the alley as we spoke of. I've removed the entry at the front, and then the wall design. We went with there's an existing chain link fence there now. We're gonna leave that. It's along the property line. We're gonna have an offset wall. That's the 6 foot CMU stucco wall that'll go along here, and then as requested, we're gonna have the 50% or less wrought iron wall, which is called out here at the 16-inch height stucco covered CMU wall with the wrought iron fence above up to 6 feet. And that's going to be for this whole line here and then this line right here.
Hey, Alex. Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
Did
and I
you say
got it
there's an
flagged.
existing chain link that's along the sidewalk? Is that?
Yeah, it's along right here, right at the north property line. Now, I mean, that's based on aerials. I haven't been on the property in quite some
No,
time.
there is.
Yeah.
Oh, there is. I look every once in a while and I didn't remember seeing a fence, but I take your word for it, Tim.
I remember pulling plastic bags out of
There you go. Yeah. So
it.
we'll leave that guy there, and they just want to offset one that's going to go up here anyways. So it'll end up help creating another buffer, what it comes down to. And I think that was the final comment that you guys had. So you let me know what other concerns, if any.
Any comments from the board?
How are you going to be able to access that space along Speedway then between the chain link and your wall? Is there an opening to get through there to keep it clean of trash?
In here?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, we're not putting nothing right here, so they'll just be open. I mean,
Okay.
this is their
Perfect.
property regardless. I mean, ideally, I don't know what they're going to want to do. I mean, technically, someone can walk on their property and probably think it's 100% okay because the wall's here, but that's something they'll have to just deal with unless they decide they want to close it off. But we're leaving it open right here with the wall offset by 13 feet. All right.
And Alex, remind me, there's another house next door, and I believe they've got like a wood picket fence around their property. Is that right? It's to the west.
Let's see if I have a picture of it. If not,
On the street view, there's kind of a there.
yeah.
So,
Is it?
yeah. If you go back to the site plan, I can draw what I see on the street view from Google.
Oh, okay, thank you.
You kind of see it there or something.
Yeah, it's pretty.
I might have another one, street direct street view. Usually I show them. Nope, that's the end of it. Okay.
Well, let go ahead and let Rachel.
So it looks like there's a chain, the 4 foot chain link fence you're talking about goes like this, and it continues all the way down and then transitions to like wrought iron right before the Circle K.
Oh,
And then
okay.
there's like a pretty janky wood, I wouldn't even call it wood pickets. It's like looks like little wood slats, and it's sort of like it's falling down. It does not look good. So that's what I can see on the street view. Also, just real quick, I'm pretty sure I know the city of Tucson allows you to do a 6 foot high fence. But I think our guidelines say it should be 4 feet high. However, since this isn't a contributing property, I'm okay with this being 6 feet along this front, even though
As
it's not really the front.
long as it's transparent, I think, yeah. All right.
Right. I just want to make sure we put that in the note that we're okay with that being the 6 feet high, because I'm pretty sure along the front, it's limited to 4 feet high unless we specifically say that. So.
Okay. Any other comment? I mean, I think Alex, you did a great job in just incorporating the comments and doing what we asked, so I'm happy. I think we want to make sure, which is what, like Rachel was bringing up, that in our motion here that we overtly say we're okay with like the height of the fence, the location of the parking area.
Yeah, and this is a visual appeal again. It's like the single hinges, the doors, so we can visually see it as well.
And can I ask you, you're not, the drawing, if I remember correctly, has on the roof something called solar ready space, but you're not installing solar at this point, right?
No, that's a standard Tucson amendment. So when you do new
Oh,
builds,
it is.
yeah, they
Okay.
have an
I
inclusive
didn't know
design
that.
that all homes have to have that solar ready zone, 300 square foot.
It's a
Yeah.
code
You've got to
requirement.
have the pigtails up there. Wow,
Yeah,
I did
well, and
not know. Oh,
it's
okay.
a lot for the structure too, to make sure it can withstand the extra weight and all
Yeah,
that.
exactly. The
Okay,
structural, and make
that's
sure the
great.
framing got that extra 5 pounds per square foot load.
Okay,
Yep.
cool. Okay. Unless there's any other discussion, does somebody want to make a motion?
I'll give it a try. I move we accept as presented with the following notations. We accept the 6 foot wall on the solid wall on the north and the 6 foot wall on the west with the wrought iron above. Is it 30 inches?
And
1 foot 6, I think.
I'm sorry.
I believe it was 1 foot 6.
Have a 16 inch
One
high. Yeah.
16-inch. Oh, 16-inch high. Thank
Yeah,
you.
block courses, that's why. So we'll do 2 courses a block, then the rest is all
Got it.
a wrought iron.
That makes perfect sense. Okay.
Also, sorry
So
to cut you off in the middle of this. I was looking at the street view again, and as you go further down the street, they have a more updated one, and it is a new wood picket fence on the adjacent property. Not that really sad one. That one's gone.
that's what I actually thought was there. So I'm glad you looked again. I
Yeah,
thought I was
I went
going.
further down the street and it's a different newer date. So
Okay, cool.
yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, guys. Let me start afresh.
Yeah, sorry.
No problem, because then I won't screw up on the height. So, again, I move that we accept the applicant's proposal as presented, that the solid 6-foot wall on the north side is acceptable, that the east wall with solid up to 16 inch and opaque up to 6 feet above that is acceptable, and that the parking access off of the 18 foot alley to the south is acceptable.
I believe that's a west wall.
Excuse me, west wall. Thank you.
This is Rachel Sarah. I second.
Here we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
All right. We have
Yep.
unanimity.
No.
Okay. Well, again, Alex, I really appreciate you taking your comments to heart and incorporating them, and you're good to go. Thank you
First
very
thing,
much.
thanks. I got another one you guys are gonna be seeing too. Michael knows about it, so I'll
Okay.
see you guys on the next one as well.
All right. Well,
Sure.
good luck with PRS. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Right. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thanks, Alex. Just contact me so we can get that going.
Got it. All right. Thanks. Bye.
Welcome. Bye.
All right. And that brings us to staff updates. Michael, I have a little dialogue I want to have here on the term limits and such. Michael contacted the boards, committees, and commissions part of the City of Tucson and got some feedback on everybody's status. He had showed us some stuff last time we were together, and was all consistent except that we have one of our members, Rachel, that the board said is expiring at the end of this calendar month. And I couldn't tell, Michael, from the correspondence and the charts that everybody had, because they did send the advisory board rules, and it talked about 2 4-year terms. Nothing in the chart that you had or the chart they had had the dates as to when those terms started. They had the end dates and they had the last reappointment dates, but I wasn't quite sure I understood. Like, how could I tell? Has Rachel really been, is she coming up on 8 years now? I mean,
I think
I
it
believe.
would
Yeah.
be in this summer
In
when
the
I
summer.
started was in June. So that's one of the things on the, because you guys had added me onto that thread at one point, that to me was confusing because it said, because I know we all appointed each other or whatever we had to do. I remember voting that on like a January meeting. So I think that's why we have that like start and end date as the December. But when I was reading that email thread, and I should pull it up so I could actually make sense. But it had said your term ends at the end of your like year. So to me, that would mean it would be, since my term is ending in tech, like I started in June, it would be June of 26, meaning then I would end in July or December of 26, not 6 months sooner. It would be 6 months later. Does that make sense? Let me go one
So
second.
let me just clarify what is going on here. Rick has put it right. So I've sent this first communication to all of you, which shows your term limits. And apparently, yours, they say yours, it's expiring the end of this month. But based on the roster which they have sent to us in 2024, September of 2024, it shows that your term will expire on the 3rd of June, 2026. So I send the two copies back to the city clerk and ask for clarification. So they should clarify to me which one is actually the authentic date. And given the fact that Richard is the only architect on this board, and she has expressed a willingness to continue to serve until a new member is appointed, I have not heard from the city clerk as to that clarification at this point in time. I will continue to follow up on that, and I will update you as soon as I get any information. Unfortunately, this day and age, most people are working remote. It is not like in the past where I could say I'll go to the city clerk and talk to somebody. So, but I would continue to try and get clarification on that, because the 2 days they don't match up according to me. So I don't know which one is the most authentic.
And I know you know this, Michael, obviously, I know you know. I mean, the whole reason I brought up this agenda topic a couple of meetings ago was to avoid this, where we get it to the end of the year and suddenly one of our members is like surprised by being timed out. And especially, I mean, I value all of you, but we only have one architect, and this is. This ambiguity is bad. So I appreciate anything you can do, you and Desiree, if she has to get involved to help
Yeah,
aid the
we're trying
case a
our
little bit.
best. To be honest with you, some boards have operated and are operating without an architect. Okay. The important thing here is that Richard is willing to continue. That is the selling point here. It's not about her being the only architect on the board, because there are some boards that are operating without architect. So
I
I
would
just.
argue that we operate better than anybody else. You said that at the last meeting,
We have it
Michael.
on tape.
We do have it on tape. So.
I am not saying that your board does not function well. No, all the boards that I do run, trust me, they do function very well. I said that, and I own up to that. I'm not refusing that. I'm
I'm
just
not
saying
trying to pick a fight with you, Michael. I really am
that.
appreciating that
No.
we push on this. I'm not,
Trust me,
I
we would like to have Richard continue to serve, and we'll do the best we can do. But again, I
Hey,
don't know.
Jim, let's just start a neighborhood campaign, save Rachel. You know, we'll do a hashtag,
If only if it
bring
was up to me, them.
yeah. Okay, well, so
Maybe
anything.
forward looking, we should just begin to try to get new members as quickly as we can, just in case. Speak.
We are gonna push it a little harder, and that was part and parcel of the whole conversation. Because even though whether Rachel's on the board or not, we're down to five if she is, and so I think we're allowed 12 or something like that. I mean, we're not even at 50% of our.
No, you're not. You're not. Ticket.
Yeah. Which, by the way, just for everyone's benefit, I don't know how many of you know Floyd, but the reason he's listening in is at our last Luna meeting, he showed interest in joining the board, and wanted to sit in tonight and just kind of listen to the discussion to see if it's something that he felt comfortable doing. So that's why Ford's here.
Okay.
He's in our neighborhood. He's one of our neighbors. He actually is probably the longest neighbor that we've had that's still around, probably. But yeah, it Okay. It would be really good to know, and I know you can only do what you can do by the end of the calendar year, because we are at a point where December, Rachel's the boards and commissions folks are saying Rachel can't come to our next meeting, can't vote in our next meeting. I mean, anybody can come to the meetings, but it'd be nice to help push that a little bit. Okay. And on recruitment of new members, which I do agree with, it's obviously on the agenda for tonight. We did make a call at our last neighborhood association meeting. I have done that in the past. We've got another meeting in January, but we'll push it again with probably a larger audience. I did get a question at the last meeting. I'm sorry, neighborhood association meeting, Michael. Would a person who is at the University of Arizona studying architecture be considered a person with I forgot what the name is,
Special qualifications.
special qualifications. Thank you.
Yes.
That would.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are they teaching? Are they faculty?
No, a
Don't.
student.
Are a student? No.
No.
They have to have been, they have to have graduated with a degree or something like that. Then they can be considered special qualification. If
Okay.
they're just students, they're just students. They're not
Okay.
yet.
All right. That's what, yeah, that specifically they were suggesting I maybe reach out to the
School of Architecture.
School of Architecture. I mean,
Yeah.
one of our former members, Darcy, was at one point or another a teacher there, but in any case, she was a special architect. Okay. We'll continue to push and ask for people within the neighborhood. People outside of the neighborhood, we have fewer connections to. And that's kind of, again, where I was hoping we could keep Rachel on the board for a while longer and maybe even, try and get in, trying to figure out a strategy to get into the network of other folks like her. It's hard to find people willing to volunteer their time for this.
Rick, there, I mean, University of Arizona has a 5-year architecture degree, and they also have a master's program. So we could get someone in the master's program who is degreed in architecture and pursuing their master's and may not yet be a registrant. But then
Landscape.
again,
As I say,
both,
they have
yeah.
a master's landscape architecture program too, so those might
Yeah.
be two good avenues.
All right.
Our president doesn't believe architects are professionals, though.
I know, he doesn't think nurses are either, so.
So,
What?
okay.
What?
No. That's a beer conversation, not
Hey.
for the record. You never know who's listening. So, okay. We should see. Any of you know Jim, Rachel, or anybody, any contacts over there in the architecture school? I don't know anyone.
Yes, I'll we have a neighbor, Chris,
Yeah,
on
just
the
forgiven.
Chris
Wart.
Dorman. He's
Yeah,
a
he
member
was.
of Air Presidio anyway.
The northeast corner of Fifth Avenue and First Street, north of Catalina Park, is a faculty at the University of Arizona. I will scare up his email information, whatnot, Rick, and forward it to you, and or
Okay.
go knock on his door.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that. I'd appreciate that. And then Jim, I know you're already mentioned it for the annual newsletter. We're going to mention something, right? And then we'll bring it up at the January
Yep.
Neighborhood Association meeting.
And we have a board meeting in February too, so we've got two cracks at it, so.
Yeah. But all that conversation notwithstanding, I don't want to lose sight, Michael, of Rachel's willingness to continue to serve at least until the middle of
Oh,
next year.
no, we're not going to. Myself and Israel will not just, we're going to look into that.
Okay. I'm thank you.
And can we just get clarity on what the actual rule should be moving forward? Is it when you're first voting in a meeting? Is that your start date?
No, your start date is when you are appointed by the city club.
Right. So I go down and I'm sworn in. That's my start date. So that's 4
Yes.
years is term one, 4 years is term two.
That's correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So I guess what
That's
we're
perfect.
trying to figure out is why they have two different dates for me.
Right.
Yeah, that's
Which,
exactly where I am.
we're
Yeah,
confused
because
that
I
the
don't.
city records conflict.
Well, they don't conflict. It's a strange ambiguity. I have
Yeah.
the rules in front of me, and this is not just for our board, but for all the historic boards. And it says 2 4-year terms, kind of like what you just said. However, it then also says the term of each member of an advisory board is for 4 years, expiring on December 31st of the fourth year, which is why Rachel was asking the question she was asking.
Sure.
So it's
Because
got
to
a
me, that would
December
say I should be
next
serving
year.
until 26, December of 26, not,
Right. Correct.
yeah.
That makes sense, Michael. I mean, if her fourth year is
At the end of the
June,
year.
then the end of the fourth year, December 31st, is December 31st of next year, not this year. It's kind of like they're rounding the wrong way,
Right.
seems to me, and seems right. So that's what we're kind of hung up on, because obviously people are going to join no one's going to be joining the board synchronous with December 31st, right?
That also
So
seems kind of silly to do it that way, because then you could potentially have like four people all expiring all at the
at
same
the same
time
time.
instead of being two at
Well,
a time.
we had three expiring like 2 years ago. I don't know if you all remember that.
Right. No, that's what I mean. It
Mm-hmm.
doesn't seem, I mean, we're not here to change the city, but it seems
No.
like a city rule in general.
Well, we don't need to belabor this, but that is the crux of the ambiguity to me, in the way that the written word is. It doesn't make sense to me, and I don't even see why December 31st is on there at all. It should just be 4 years. But
Right.
I know I can't, I'm not allowed to change this, but it's a strange additional constraint. And then it makes it worse because if in the case of Rachel, it's not 4 years, it's 3.5 years, which I don't know, which is what winds up happening. So won't belabor it anymore. I know we're just repeating the same things over and over again, but I really would appreciate it. Everything you can do, Michael, to help us advocate and see what we can do and really question why that 4 years expiring on December 31st of the fourth year. There's no way to a lawyer would read that and not say that Rachel should not be around until the end of next year. And I know we're not
Again,
lawyers.
we'll do our best.
Okay. Okay, I'm going to close out on that topic. And the next item on staff updates was the design guides. Now, I mentioned at the last meeting that for some reason,
You were going to hire some monks and go page by page, line by line,
I went
and
page
see
by
if you
page,
could.
line by line. I'm not a monk yet, but what the peculiar thing was that I sent Desiree on July the 8th our last version of a marked up incorporated set of design guides, and somehow or another, oh, here it is. What she wound up circulating for comment was the versions, two versions of the design guide that Jim and I presented to the PRS several months prior to that. So the comments that came back were markups to the things that we sent to PRS, which we had already made changes to. So I went through page by page, the comments she sent and the version that we have, and I made some markups. And I'll tell you guys, there's 80% of the comments to that Desiree sent me were either OBE or had already been corrected. And or a couple things what they were asking for clarifications, which is no big deal, and we don't need to talk about it. However, there were a few comments, not many, that I do want to bring up, and I'm going to take a few moments here, and I just want to bring it up for discussion and get some guidance. One of them, so if you just bear with me, one of them had to do with parking, and there were comments that came back, and this was, again, comments from an old version, where Desiree, where the recommendation was that we prohibit parking access from the front of the house, the street house. And I'm pushing back on that. We all push back on that. And I think in particular for our neighborhood, many homes don't have alley access or side street access. And we have allowed historically a driveway in the front, and just say that the cars can't be parked in front of the house. They have to drive all the way to the side of the house or the back or something like that. Is everybody kind of on the same page with that? I think we don't want to prohibit people. We don't want to tell people they can't build a driveway in front of their house just because not everybody has parking access. Otherwise, I know I've got an alley in the back, but you know, I'm third over here next to me. Most of those houses don't have an alley. You know, they're half lots. They don't have an alley in the back. Okay.
So just a quick aside, I was able, so I tracked down when I mailed everything to the city clerk, and I was talking to Robert Fleming about it. And it was June 14th of 2018.
Well,
that's when I was telling them that I had told Robert that I got everything in. So the June 3rd of 2018 could be the day that they swore everything in, which would make sense that that's the date rather than December.
Right. Which is consistent with the date that Michael had of June of 2026.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So the fourth year would be 2026.
I was trying to find my email from the actual city clerk, but I can't, or I haven't found it yet anyways.
Okay. I wrote that down. Okay, I am.
Oh, sorry. I just found another one that was Michael, you and I talking, and I have my resume and my letter of intent to serve, which was sent in on May 29th of 2018. So that makes sense that, you know,
yeah,
4 or 5
you.
Weeks later. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I can forward that to you right now so we can have those date stamps if that will help them clarify anything.
They should have it. I mean,
I agree.
if I need it, I will ask from you. I will I'll try to make an appointment with somebody in that office. So,
okay.
I think that is helpful. If you can talk and not just email, that is so much
better. Yeah, that's what I'll try to do.
Okay. Thanks for looking that up, Rachel. Okay. So I want to move on from what I just said. The comment I got back essentially said, hey, why don't you revise your guidelines to say no driveways in the front? And I'm pushing back, suggesting that we push back and say, I don't want a car parked in somebody's front yard, but some of them can only access off-street parking by having.
I don't think we should eliminate that because there's also like historic. I mean, I'm working on a project right now that's adjacent to your property, Rick, where there's a historic lava rock wall that allows them to have access to their lot in the middle of.
Oh dirt. Yeah, right, exactly, right from the front of the house.
So, yeah, from the front of the house.
Right.
So.
Right. Okay. So I'm going to move on. I just wanted to take the opportunity to run that by everybody and see if you all agreed with me or want to discuss it. I'm happy to.
Everybody loves talking about parking in Tucson.
Okay.
And our
We
neighborhoods
shouldn't
too, right?
stop making it harder. They should allow to, should
Yes.
smaller alleys. They should allow you to get into your property.
They should absolutely
Really?
allow that.
Pave the alleys? I don't know.
No, oh, I don't care if they pave it. I'm just saying they should let, if it's not 20, because they've been pushing back on that 20-foot thing, the 20-foot alley that Alex was concerned about has come up recently. And you know, I just, why are we making it harder?
Why are we making it harder? Exactly.
It's the firefighters.
Yeah. Well.
No, I get the alley thing, but not letting someone access their property from
Yeah.
the. I think if there's maybe we could put in something if there's like something historic or existing, but I still don't think we should limit it. I agree that we shouldn't limit it. So.
I
Agreed.
agree. I agree. Okay, I'm moving on now. This is a section on additions. And we, in our guidelines, say place additions to the rear. Do not disturb the street sides of existing buildings. And the comment I got from Desiree was, well, do we need to think about what the implications of that are for lots that are in the corner where there's two street sides?
Say
So
it again. Sorry.
right now, the guideline says place additions to the rear, which includes stairs, decks, anything. And then it further says, do not disturb the street sides of existing buildings. So she didn't push back. She asked, well, you know, what do you do if you have a corner lot? Does that mean because the rear of the property is on the street, right? And I think that's a fair point. I think we would allow a modification to the so-called backyard, even though that backyard might go alongside of a street.
Well, I think when we, unless that the property actually, there generally is like a front of the house. So unless, you know what I mean? Maybe if we want to clarify, like they have to pick a front or, you know what I mean? Something like that.
Isn't that the language we have for the corner lots that they have to
No.
denote? Well,
Yes.
wasn't that what we were talking about with
It was
With Alec.
yeah, with Alex. His isn't a corner lot. It was really just discussing, you know, if the front of the house is on Seventh, then
Speedway.
well, not it's not Speedway, but
I know.
yes, but
No, but Alex's is though, is what we're saying. So like technically the front of his house, but he chose then the front to be seventh.
yes,
So
he
to
did.
me, that's saying you have to indicate what is your front, and if now that's
Right.
your front, then you don't get to put a guest house in that side. You know
I
what I
think
mean?
that I can work with that. I'm gonna make some incorporated changes and just send you guys out something with the red lines on it. But I think that's a good guidance. So I
Yeah,
think we would
Mr.
agree.
Chair, so per code, if the property is a corner lot, just like Lou was saying, the property owner chooses which side to pick as the front, and then the other street side becomes a side street.
And for side streets, we're okay. Yeah, with putting rooms and porches, decks, ADUs or whatever. So I got it. I think I can work with that. Yeah, we can't handicap folks that are on corner lots for no good reason. Okay, the next comment. Doors. So, for doors, we say, as we talked about even in today's meeting, that we want solid wood doors on homes. And Desiree's comment was, do you really mean to say period dot solid wood doors, or is there a reason why on a new build, on a secondary building, it couldn't be some other material? And we have, in fact, allowed like the windows non-wood windows, steel windows on secondary buildings. You know, key architecture made more sense. So how do we feel about for an ADU? Does it have to be a solid wood door?
Are we
And is it
making a distinction between conforming and not conforming, or just new build versus already built?
So she actually went further in her comments and said, if you can't see it from the street, why do we care? And I think we have been pretty consistent in saying, no, on the contributing structure, it's got to be wood, whether I see it or not. We've been saying that consistently all along. I am offering that for a secondary structure, do we need to impose the same rules? And I think we've not been consistent. I don't know about doors, but we've certainly been non we haven't been consistent about making windows wood or wood clad on secondary structures. And what do we want to say about
Well,
doors?
I'm kind of two minds on it just because from an architecture standpoint, doing a solid wood door is kind of irresponsible. They just don't stand up in this weather. And so I would push that we would allow for wood clad, just to from the standpoint of being somebody's architect and suggesting a material that would last in this climate. But then from the historic standpoint, yeah, we should be, kind of sticking to that thing. But I mean, we allow solar panels and that wasn't around in the 20s. So, I kind of feel like it could kind of go both ways. We do allow to have wood clad windows, so why are we not allowing wood clad doors? I don't know.
So I would say, kind of pulling that thread a little bit, on a secondary building, I mean, does it have to even be wood clad?
I think we could maybe list off the things that are like, this is not allowed. Like, no fiberglass, no, you know what I mean? Like, things like that, so that we can kind of maintain the quality. Or maybe we could say, solid wood preferred, wood clad on a case-by-case basis or something like that. Would maybe be how to handle that rather than trying to list everything we don't allow seems kind of, I don't know.
We do some of the things that we do have a few examples of we don't allow this, and I think it's
Oh, and I
helpful
think
sometimes.
maybe, yeah, because like vinyl windows,
Vinyl
no.
windows, we don't like
Fiberglass
sliders.
door, no. You know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, potentially it would be worth specifically spelling that out. I don't know. What is anyone else's opinion?
Well, as a architect and a steward, besides the aesthetic of a fiberglass, if it looks like a six light Craftsman door, do we care?
Yeah, because they're crappy too and they'll fall apart in the weather.
Yeah.
So,
I'm saying it's the
Up to the
argument
point.
of, are we looking for the style that we want to kind of hold our guns to, or is it a material quality issue? Because to me, that's your two minds. Let's make a
Right.
decision, say we're in the spot.
No, that's
I
fair.
think it's both. And I'll again, we haven't really had this discussion on doors, but we have allowed single and double hung windows to be made out of composite material that is consistent with the weather conditions that we have. Sure.
So from a style point of view, it conforms visually, but also materially, it is a durable material that is designed specifically to work in the kind of environments we've had. And on a case-by-case basis, we've approved that. We don't want to see a door that looks like something you paid 20 bucks from Home Depot, right? Stylistically, even though it, a steel security door is going to be very, very durable. But I think if you, especially on a secondary building, if you've got something that's got a durable material and can be made such that it looks like it's consistent with the neighborhood.
Yeah, I think there needs to be a little bit of a conversation about it being you still have to kind of find an example of that sort of style or something as and on contributing property. So they're not going to be able to come forward with like a slab steel contributing door as an example.
But I'm also, Rachel, differentiating in this paragraph, which we don't currently, about contributing and non-contributing. So, and I'm saying secondary buildings. So, like, if you're building an ADU in the back, are we going to insist that it be solid wood? And I think we're even not sure we're insisting it's solid wood on a contributing on a case-by-case basis.
Yes.
Okay.
At least that's my point of view.
Didn't
Okay.
wasn't there an issue with respect to stone sills that we got sued over at one point in time because we specified a material for the sill? And so I'm curious whether we can speak to appearances, but not necessarily materials at the end of the day.
Well, I think that's a good point. I think we want to make sure it's not necessarily completely about materiality, but finding a contributing property that has an example of that style, whether it's a secondary, primary, whatever. You need to still have that precedence to be allowed to do that.
And I think, Jim, there's a difference between specifying stone and saying, no, we're not going to allow vinyl, because we all know in 5 years, vinyl is going to look like crap and fall apart. Right? Stone, I'm not particularly worried about. But to say it has to be stone versus it has to be a material that is, it could be stone, could be steel. We've allowed steel on secondary buildings. And there probably are other materials. Materials are improving all the time. And we have taken, like I said, we have taken exception for windows. We've allowed certain composites to be allowed that aren't fiberglass and they aren't vinyl, and they're designed to hold up in the environment and they visually look like the wood stuff. I mean, I wish I could have done that when it was my house. All right, I have enough information where I can take a shot at text. I'm going to kind of keep us from having this meeting taking long, but I appreciate the discussion. I wrote a few notes and I'm going to make a recommendation. The next comment was regarding standing metal seam. And Desiree made a comment that we seem to be the only neighborhood that gets hung up on standing metal seam. And it's too bad Damon's not here. It's one of his pet peeves. So we did allow standing metal seam in secondary buildings. Although I don't see the text in front of me right this very second, but I know it's here. Here it is. But I think in our neighborhood, when it comes to the contributing structures, that's not a material design or anything that we want on contributing buildings. It didn't exist back then. None of our houses had it. But on a secondary building, and I know we have examples of it in the neighborhood. In fact, we have also corrugated steel. And what the text in here says is metal roofing, such as corrugated steel, may be appropriate for guest houses and accessory structures in the rear of the property. Standing metal seam roofing is not allowed on contributing structures. That's what it says. So I think we stick with that. Concur?
I'm dissenting on that, but I know I've been a solid voice on that all along. I'll go with the body.
So I just was looking up to see when standing metal seam came about. It says it emerged in the late 1800s. I mean, I love standing metal seam. I think it is a really good material architecturally, but I agree it does not really show up in our neighborhood.
Right.
So I
That's my
think that
problem.
it would be so, and then it, so it says it started to become more popular in the 1950s, and the 1969 is when it really started to take over replacing corrugated metal roofing. So I would say it doesn't fit on a contributing property for our neighborhood. As much as I hate to say that, because I think it's a great
I think
material.
honestly, I think we all feel the same way, but there really is it's just not consistent with the neighborhood. And I think we should stick with that and allow it and corrugated steel on non-contributing properties on secondary
Well, and
buildings.
I think the biggest thing for me, particularly from the architecture standpoint, and why I use standing metal seam a lot, is because it allows for a lower slope than a traditional,
Okay.
Because it's essentially like big gutters instead of where,
Mm-hmm.
you know, corrugated requires a steeper slope, all those things. So, however, if we're working on a contributing property, there's very few contributing properties with a low slope roof. So I think it being allowed on secondary or non-contributing properties is great. I don't think it belongs on a contributing property in this neighborhood, unfortunately.
Okay. I'm with you. All right.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
The last time you talked about a certain property that installed a metal roof, which was a violation, we're looking for that address again. Can you, if you still know the address, can you shoot it to me and Desiree so we can follow up on that?
Yeah, it's on University and Six.
Well, the infamous one was where a fellow put corrugated metal roof on a Sixth Avenue property north of University, and we actually had him remove it.
Yeah, I know that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is one, Jim.
This one is just a recent one.
Is
a recent okay. Doesn't ring a bell.
It's Sixth. It's University and Sixth. It's on
Sixth
the
Ave.
North Sixth Ave. It's on the north. No, I'm sorry, Sixth Street. Sorry. University and Sixth Street. It's on the northwest corner.
That can't be because
no,
University
the
and Sixth Street are parallel.
Street, yeah, it has to be Ave.
Oh, Sixth Ave.
Yeah,
All right. Sorry, sorry,
Paul,
sorry.
I made you question yourself.
No. And this is one where the owner started working on the roof and without any permit or historic review or anything. It's a tile roof. And he completely re-roofed the north facade, north side, with corrugated steel.
Yeah, you can see it in the street or the aerial.
And he got stop work orders stickered to his windows that he just ripped off and continued working. And he finally, I don't know what the city did, but got him to stop. So
the
it's
Google
now.
Street View actually shows them installing it.
Yeah, I know. He just completely blew everybody off.
Where is it, Rachel?
It's at 6. It's the north,
it's the north.
818 North 6th Ave. I think. Hold on. Let me go back.
The address should be University.
Is it University? That was just what Google was telling me. 145 East University.
Yep, that's it. 145. So did you get that, Michael? 145.
I got it.
Yeah. So if you drive by that one, if any of you guys look at it on
and
the...
it's so pretty. That tile is so gorgeous because you can
It's
still see it on the
gorgeous.
university
It is a
side.
Classic design.
Oh, I know where it is. Yep.
And
okay.
he... So the... When you're looking at it from the south, looking toward the south facing side, you see all this beautiful tile.
And which
and
makes
when you
sense
walk
with the
around
shape
to the
of the
back
tile.
And look at it from the north, looking at the north facing side, it's brown corrugated steel. It looks like it's bad.
Yeah. I don't think a metal roof is appropriate on a contributing property here. It's just not anywhere
Right.
here.
I will say, just to nitpick a little bit, because I have done a lot of minor reviews on roofs with Michael, there are metal materials that appear that have the visual impact of of like asphalt shingles. There are metal shingles
Yeah, there's
that.
like metal tiles and like stamped
Right.
tiles. I mean, that's Old Main is like that, is actually a
Yeah.
metal.
So I think I wouldn't say no metal, but I would say that it's gotta have the appearance. I think in the
It
case
still needs to have the appearance of like the
shake
shingle or
shingle,
tile or
it has to have an appearance that's
the
consistent with the
rhythm and
neighborhood. Right.
the sort of appearance of whatever pattern was there before. So
Was there before. So
you can come in. Are
yeah.
you describing the trash?
Okay.
Okay.
We're
All
going
right.
to follow up on that. Thank you very much, because we have a lot
Okay.
of zoning violations that were falling out. So this one
Yeah,
came up, and none of us could remember the address.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let me keep moving here because I want to get us out of here early. In the windows section, we talk about awnings. Awnings were historically used over windows in West University and can be used today as an energy-saving device. Material and design will be subject to review. And Desiree asked if there was any reason we wouldn't give examples of acceptable awning materials.
I mean, I think maybe we could say find an example in your development zone.
I think my only problem with that is the development zone is kind of limited to that, short radius of homes around you. And if somebody came up and said, I wanted to put an awning on my window and there weren't any, would we say no? Weren't any in the development zone, but there are in the neighborhood, because we do know there's homes in the neighborhood that
Well,
have
I
awnings.
think then it's sort of their job to do some due diligence. I don't know that we should do all their homework for them.
Okay.
I
It
don't know.
does say
That's just
material
me.
and design will be subject to review. So I can add case by case basis and that sort of thing to it, which I'm fine with doing. I think we don't have to. I guess I tend to agree with what you just said, Rachel. We don't have to do that. Okay, last item is fences. And I guess now that I'm looking at it, I don't know that I need any help from you guys. She went through and did some substantial rewording, but it didn't change any of the substance. Substantial in the fact that there's a lot of blue on this piece of paper that you probably can't see, but it's organizing it differently and saying things differently. I didn't see anything in here. The only thing that is in here that isn't that we didn't explicitly put in, oh no, it is in here. I'm sorry. We said, I know it's been a long time, you guys may not remember, that above fences that are in the front of the house that are taller than 48 inches have to be 66% see-through, not 50% see-through. I don't know where we got that, if that's the code.
I didn't know we were allowing anything above the 48. So the city of Tucson standard for fencing is 6 feet front or back, but I thought ours was down to 4 feet because of the historic.
So what we learned when we were going through this over a year ago was that we're the only neighborhood HPZ that doesn't allow 6 foot. But and
Mr. Chair, just no, that is not correct. In the front yard, it is 4 feet. You can go up to six, but above four, up to 4 feet can be solid. Above four has to be see-through. You can put wrought iron, you can put anything on top that is see-through and get up to the 6 feet. So to say that West University is the only one that is not allowed 6 feet is not true.
Well, all I was saying, Michael, was that the other neighborhoods had adopted an allowance to go to 6 feet with proper transparency requirements.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Our guide previously said 4 feet, period, no discussion.
Oh.
So we changed it and said above 48 inches, it needed to be more than 66% see-through. And we have on a case-by-case basis in these meetings allowed 6 foot wrought iron
We
transparent
did
fences.
not.
I'm sorry, Rachel.
We did
We did.
tonight. We
Yeah.
allowed Alex to go to 6 feet.
Yeah, we did it tonight. And for security reasons, we've been saying, you know what, given where you live, I get it. And it's not blocking the view of the house because of the design that you said, which, you know, Alex's is only solid up to 16 inches, I think. And then the rest of it was transparent. You know, I think the intent here is let's not be visually impairing the view of the front of the house. So these wrought iron fences are, I don't know, 80% transparent. So I think it's okay. And then the rest of it is 6 feet tall, but solid, but no more than 6 feet is allowed around the rest of it. Anyway, now that I'm looking at it, I really do think this is just a matter of wordsmithing, and there's nothing that changes the rules. So I'm just going to take a cut at this. And again, I'll send you guys markups. And that's it. There's a whole bunch of other comments that she had in here, but either they were OBE or they were just minor wordsmithing that I think most of which I think is fun. So I'm going to go ahead and
Can I ask
based on.
Michael two questions about this? Because I thought there was going to be some code consolidation references across all of these. Did that occur?
Both across all of what?
Across all of the HPZ's design guides. Desiree had alluded to that we and Jim had recognized some legacy dangling participles of
Oh, so to
codes that we
say,
were
yeah,
referencing.
Lou, thank you. So the earlier versions of the document that we had, including parts of what Jim and I showed to PRS, had dead links or links to something that's not
Does
true
not
anymore.
exist.
However, we corrected all that stuff. So the copy that I had sent to her in July already incorporated all those changes. And I think the reason Desiree made the comment that she made was she was looking at an old version, is my guess. Because everything
Okay,
she
because I thought we
suggested,
talked about all the new codes coming in with the ADUs
the only
and.
thing that's structurally different is the ADU language, and we had already embraced that as well, knowing that it was coming. But it wasn't in the version that Jim and I showed to PRS, because because at the time that we met with PRS, the new code hadn't been incorporated. So we just left the old language in and said, okay, well, we'll clean that up later when we get to it.
So we're not going to make references to specific codes in our document.
No, there's references and there's
Yeah.
links, but they were just wrong in the original document.
Okay.
They were dated, but they've been correct. They were corrected when we did our last iteration, which would have been, I don't know, summer.
Right, but do they dead end again when the city redoes their website?
Most of the references are to UDC paragraphs, so
Okay.
that doesn't change. There are a couple of references to websites. There's a reference to one of SHPO's websites, and there's a
Right.
reference to the website that is where the process maps are for doing historic review. And the city did change that when they updated their website for. And I don't know what to do except put the current one in, because I think it's helpful for people to know where to go find that stuff.
Right. And then the other piece, and this was kind of to Michael, you have created some resources to help people navigate how to navigate the historic system. Are we going to have that in our guidelines?
They are in the guideline. So
Okay. And
there's direct references that
even
are.
the net new ones that Desiree was talking about a couple of months ago, the video links, and here's how you navigate the system.
There's what we did was we point to the web page from which you can launch all that stuff.
Okay.
Not right. Because I don't know, they may move stuff around on the page, but you know, basically we just said, look, go to this website and it will have all the rules and the links to wherever that stuff is. And
Yes, but it's been an iterative process to make it understandable for anybody to know that you've got to come in and know that you need a historic review in order to hit the right buttons to get there.
So the references that we have now go to a page that lays out, here's what the steps are. And then each
Okay.
one of those steps within that web page then has a link to someplace else in the city website that spells it out. But if you
No,
just
it's
go
just
to
the
the.
most common question I get is how do I start this process? Where do I read all the rules? You guys are making this hard. And I'm trying to tell people if you start here and read this whole thing, it should go relatively quickly.
And there is a master source, what I would call a master page on the city's Planning and Development Services website that takes you that spells it out in each one of the you should do this, you should do this, you should do this, has a button that you can go to that takes you either to the page where you do it or the page that explains it. And I didn't
No,
include that.
I am happy that they have finally built that.
And we link to that. Now, if the city changes all that master page, then we'll have to change ours. But
All good. Just wanted to make sure that it was a core part of our document because it seems to be one of the challenges.
I think it's much better now. I think we made the work we all did made great improvements in making it easier to follow.
I'm just happy that you're not wearing a brown robe and have some ink stains on your cheek from doing the monk's work.
I
No,
thought
thank you. That's like, I know how hard that is.
it is a little bit of a pain in the neck, yes, but I'm happy to get it done. It wasn't really that hard, although I did resort to the ink stains and everything else. I have sticky notes and pencil and marked up hard copy, no electronics. I'm being a Luddite about the whole thing, but
I kind of figured it was like a crime scene wall where you were cutting out sentences
not that
and
bad.
gluing them together in strips.
Let me all right, folks, that's it on staff updates. Item five. And now I'm going to move on to item six. Michael, do we have future agenda items that you want to bring up?
There's a pending case which Alex mentioned today. He's working on at 605 East 4th Avenue and 710 North 2nd Avenue. So that is the only case that I have now that should be coming to you if he submits in January. And now that I'm telling you is because this property has one parcel ID but has two addresses. So it has 605 East 4th Avenue and 710 North 2nd Avenue. What has happened is that at the 605, they did a bunch of work, changed windows, staircase, stucco, fences. They did all that without going through the historic review process. And there's an active zoning violation on that. So when Alex submitted, he submitted for an ADU on 710 North 2nd Avenue. And I told him that because we have pending zoning violation on that property, we cannot proceed to review the ADU without first looking at the zoning violation. And he has the option to do both of them together. He can come to you both for the zoning violation at 605 East 4th Avenue and the ADU on 710 North 2nd Avenue. So I provided him a list of items he needed to submit for us to see that. And he's working on it. If he submits in time enough, then we should be able to have that for the January meeting.
Okay.
If he does not submit, I do not have any specific case right now that we are looking at January. But as you know, things are coming in every day. So I can say like this today and before tomorrow or the next, there's a case that is popping up. So
Okay.
that's the only one that I have.
All right. I'll keep an eye out on that. Okay. So that's it for future agenda items.
And our next meeting will be January 13, 2026.
my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. What else would I want to do on my birthday but have a meeting with all you guys?
Come and join us.
Okay. Thank you. And thank all of you. And Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to everybody. I hope I see one or all of you between now and then, but everybody enjoy the holidays. And with that, it is 7:16 p.m. and we are adjourned. Have a great
holidays.
Night.
Thank you, Rick.
Happy holidays to all the board members and thank you for your good work in 2025. We'll see you in 2026.
I hope you see all of us in 2026.
I'll plan to be here for the January meeting so that hopefully we'll figure it out.
Okay, good. Thank you, Rachel.
Thank you.
All right. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Good night.